Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. We'll start reading at verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. In this place in Scripture, in our Lord's life, he was, of course, about to be tried, about to go to the cross to die for our sins. And I don't want to get so much into the history or the points necessarily of the Scriptures expositionally here that we read. What I wanted to do is bring you and me to the very prominent point of it all, of Jesus being crucified because of envy. Notice our Lord's response to his accusations. He answered not a word. What an exemplification of grace that our Lord gives us. So many of us feel like we have to get the last word. Jesus, though, was about the business of doing the Father's will, and so should we. He had was satisfied with his lot in life while he came to earth, even though there was going to be some pain in it all. As you know, he even prayed that it could be done another way besides the cross. But he did say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The thing, though, I want to bring before us today, and I got to tell you, I have struggled with this subject this week more than you know. And the reason is, I was thinking, why in the world would you want to talk to God's people about envy? They don't have any problem with that. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about something you don't have any need of. I know you don't. But you know, it's just like prayer. You know the best time for you and me to pray is when we don't feel like praying. Now, we have just got through a series that we have hopefully learned about trusting God. And the series entitled, you remember, was "Can You Trust God?" The subject today deals with an application of, do you trust God? And two, the best time to trust God is when you don't feel like it. Do you know the best time to love somebody? When you don't feel like loving them. Do you know when God forgave you of your sins? Do you think that he waited till you confessed them? Do you have an idea that God loves you more when you do good things and because you're in church today? The Bible says He loved us when we were enemies and when we were sinners. What I want to try to deal with, if God would help me, I've entitled a series that I feel like God has put on my heart. See, I can't bother anything in God's Word until it starts bothering me and you. When something starts bothering you, it's for you to deal with it. That's what pain's for. So I'm going to talk about what I've entitled in the next few weeks, Big E's. Big E's. And this one is envy. I want to get it over with. What is envy? Envy is resentment for the success of another. See, these people envy Jesus. He said He was God. And He was. But they didn't like it, because it made them look a little smaller. Envy is a spiritual sin. It is unique in this way. It takes. It never gives anything. Some of the sins of the body, for example, do give just a minute, special, maybe a very brief pleasure, although it ends up being more hurt than anything. But envy just steals. It is a spiritual cancer that will eat you alive. They are people that are so envious of others, they cannot enjoy their life. They would not dare come to a church and see people that they feel have everything working for them and their life is just perfect. It eats them away. Envy will isolate you. And here's the thing about it. You're not going to admit you got it unless God shows it to you. See, this is one of those subtle, refined sins that we're about not going to let anybody know about. But the thing is, it's in there. And it's horrible and it destroys. The people you envy most likely will be the people that do the same thing you do. If you're a singer, they will be singing. I know. I'm ashamed to say this, but it's true. Maybe we just need to say, God, look at my heart. Are you willing to take God for what He's worth and say, Lord, search my heart and try me and see if there's some unclean way within me? It may be that this envious spiritual attitude that we have is what's holding us back from the freedom of enjoying God and being what God has called us to be in this life. I know that's not what you come here to do. You come here to hear about the doctrines of grace. You come here to hear that you were chosen before the foundation of the world, and that God has saved you from your sins, and that can never be unsaved, and you are secure in God. And all that's true. But what about, what are you getting out of it? There is nothing that is a slap in the face of God's sovereignty more than enviousness. There's not. It is rebellion to the hilt, because what we don't understand is God has made us the way He has. And He saved us. And God does not create everybody equal. He does not. And we ought to be glad He doesn't. I'm ashamed to say this. I was about to do it. But I am. I go down to the Bible conference, and I hope you sign up to go this year, because you hear some great preaching. But I go down there, and I sit there, and I hear those men God blesses to preach with the power and the demonstration of His Holy Spirit. And every time I have to tell them at the end of the service, when I shake their hand and I say, you know, I enjoyed your sermon, I have to grit my teeth. You're going to let God get you by yourself to really take a look at your heart. Because there's some things in there that are horrible and rough and grievous. No wonder Jeremiah said, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do you know yourself? I don't think we do. I don't. But God does. And there is a remedy for envy. And I'm thankful that I'm not as envious as I used to be. I hope you're not. And if you're not, then you thank God for His grace. That is my first point, by the way, when we talk about envy, is understanding that by the grace of God, we are what we are. And that's God's unmerited favor. You cannot be thankful for what you have and everything you have, whether it's 1 acre or 1,000. Whether it's a beautiful body or one that's not so beautifully shaped. Whether you can sing or preach or not. All of it comes from God. You hear me? You understand that, don't you? And we are not to be performance oriented. But envy says we are. You see, the reason I mentioned doctrines of grace, we love that. I do, too. I love to preach it. Lots more than I do this number. But actually, when we let envy get in our hearts, what we're saying is we really believe in works. That's what we're saying. We believe that, just you know, if somebody makes me look little or smaller than that, I can't deal with that. I got to do something else. You know, in Proverbs, just in passing, look at Proverbs 14. You don't have to. It's a short verse. Don't waste your time to turn there. Don't want to. Look, Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. See, it's about your heart. It's not about your outside. God is a heart God. If your heart's not right, nothing else will be. But envy, the rottenness of the bones. You see what envy will do? It rottens the bones. You know what your bones are for? That structure, that body. That's what envy will do. In the same Proverbs, in the 27th verse, or 27th chapter, it says in verse 4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Now what we just read about Jesus, even though God, that was in the plan of God, that is our Lord going to the cross. But nevertheless, envy is the culprit. See, envy is a cluster spiritual sin, and you can read about the rest of them in Galatians 5, verse 17 through 19. There's 17 of them. They're called the works of the flesh. Okay? But here's the thing about envy. You got to nip that stuff in the bud. Now, think about it, and this is where grace is so important. I want you to listen to me. Because envy, I don't believe there's a person in this room that wants to feel envious. You don't. I don't. Then why do? Do we say, well, I just can't help it, you know? I got to have a drink. I got to have this. I got to have a smoke. I got to have all this. No. You know what? Jesus Christ came, and we're talking about a crucifixion that's about to take place. But the reason we have resentment is we don't know or we don't understand that we have to be crucified before we can be glorified. If you think God's going to give us everything that we want, you got to understand that it goes without saying, then why did Jesus say, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me? We do struggle with it. We don't like it. Thank God you don't. And when I'm talking about grace is this, what grace does, see, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He didn't understand it, but he said, God, I don't like it. And you pray that God, you take this away from me. And you know what? When you can pray for somebody that you resent and that you're envious of, will be the very start of your overcoming that resentment. You watch it. Philippians 2 says that we're to prefer our brothers and sisters of those before us. That's what love is about. I know you're waiting for stuff to get over it, and it will be soon. But I want to tell you, there's more in our hearts than we're admitting that ought not to be there. You remember those fires that were down in Okefenokee a few years ago? They couldn't put them out. And I know some of the areas was inaccessible to the fire plows, but you know what? For the most part, the reason they couldn't put those fires out because they were burning in that peat moss. They were burning underground. And that's kind of what envy does. It's underneath. It's in there. And we always want to push it back. But I want to tell you what. If you can put your cell phone down, and you can get your somewhere and get with God and look at His Word and see the mirror of who you really are, you will cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Look at 1 Peter. We've been studying 1 Peter, and we're about to get to this verse. Come join us on Wednesdays if you want to. Here's what envy does. Envy keeps you from growing in grace. Notice what 1 Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 2. He says in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings. Now, if you didn't have these things, you couldn't lay them aside. And now notice, Peter's talking to God's people. He's not talking to some heathen somewhere that never heard about God. I mean, he's talking to God's elect. He's talking to you and me, okay? Lay them aside. Get rid of them. Here's what to do. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Jesus gives a parable. I know you know it. In Matthew 13, he says about the seed, you know, some of them brought forth a lot of fruit. Some of them didn't bring forth that many. But one of them, he says, you know, it sprouts up, but then it's choked. It's choked. Why? Because of the deceitfulness of riches. And that brings me kind of to my second point when I deal with envy. And these are gruesome things I'm telling you about. It's called greed. Greed. How is it with you and your money? Now, I know preachers not supposed to talk about money or politics, probably. I don't know. But I have to do both because God does, okay? I mean, how much do you want? See, that's what happens in a life of envy. You see something out there that somebody else has, or they're doing better than you. He said, man, I got to have that. So you know what you do? You go shopping. You go down to the cathedral at the mall and worship consumerism. You know, there was a point in life, in this country, I believe, where people actually depended on God for everything. In other words, if they wanted something, and what happens when we want something, we see somebody else with it, you know, I mean, and all the things we think we got to have, they would get it only when they had the money to pay for it. But in the world today, people get things they can't pay for. It's easy. And the culprit of that is just maybe you ever thought about things you might have wanted that you were even envious of? Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting a bigger house or a new car or truck or a beautiful body, things like that, a good job. There's nothing wrong with that. But have you ever thought about maybe God didn't intend for you to have that? Don't be slighted. Now, you understand, we're not earthly beings. We should be heavenly minded. See, our happiness shouldn't be based on how much we got. I mean, because we don't know how much is enough. We don't. By the way, that's my next E. Enough. Well, what do you think about? You say, well, I don't really love money. I'm not really envious. Well, what do you think about? Do you pay more attention to the stock market than you do God? I don't know. All I know is what Jesus says. He said, as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Okay? You know, there was a story, I don't know if it's true, of a dog that had a bone in its mouth and saw his reflection in the water outside of a pond and wanted that other bone so bad, he dropped his bone that he had. That's what greed will do. Get your hymn books and turn to page 286. I'm not going to sing it, and I'm not going to ask you to. But one day, Several years ago, I went over to visit Brother Wallace and Sister Betty Newt. And I remember sitting on the sofa, and Brother Wallace said, "Brother Randy, come over here and sit by." He says, "We get our hymn books, and that's where we study the Bible. We worship." They weren't able to come to church then. And he read a hymn to me, and we talked about it. We need to notice these words, and I appreciate the folks in the church that pick them all out. But listen to this, how sweet, how heavenly. And this is what being free from envy will do. And this is why we need the grace of God. And this is why we need to seriously battle this most horrific spiritual enemy. I tell you, it is a spiritual warfare. How sweet, how heavenly is the sight when those that love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. When each can feel his brother's sigh and with him bear a part, when sorrow flows from eye to eye and joy from heart to heart. Please note verse 3. When free from envy, scorn, and pride, our wishes all above, each can his brother's failings hide and show a brother's love. I mean, here's where I see that. The more heaven we can get in us, the more of earthliness gets out of us. Okay? So envy. Envy, we see the grace of God. You don't believe in works, do you? No, I don't believe in that. Well then don't be envy of anybody or of anything. Because you already got more than you deserve. I know I do. You know what I deserve? To go to hell. That's what I deserve. And then what's going to happen now, if you hang in there and you're going to think you're going to have everything and nothing's going to satisfy, because if you're not satisfied with God, you're not going to be satisfied with anything else. See, you are made uniquely. There's nobody else like you. So you don't have to have all the talent somebody else has. Because Jesus loves you just like you are. Well, what we need to be mindful of is to do all we can with what God has given us to do with. And here's the deal. If God so orchestrates or uses somebody else who has more talent and abilities than we do to glorify Him, we need to rejoice rather than feel like, why him and or her and not me? The only other thing I want to say about envy, because it leads to so many other sins and destruction. I mean, Chris read about the coat of many colors in Joseph in the Old Testament. You know why his brothers put him in a pit and sold him to the enemy? They envied him. That's why. They're his own brothers. And I'm going to tell you why. I have seen this in families. I remember in the courthouse in Reidsville, Georgia. I was not a preacher then, but I was a witness for three children who were suing their own mother because she, they thought, had given more to the fourth brother, and it was affecting their inheritance. I was there. And the judge and the courts ruled in her favor, and I never will forget going up to her after the court, and I'd say, look, the best thing for you to do, they had thousands of acres. I said, you know what I would do? I would sell every bit of the timber you have and just give it away rather than have this go on. I think that's pretty much what you did. But why? Because that's what bitterness was. That's what envy does. See? And so my last point is you know what? We want, everybody wants to be great. But we have a wrong attitude about what great is. I think it's in Matthew, a different chapter. If I can find it, I want you to look at that with me before we go home. Look at chapter 20. Matthew, it's not far away probably. Jesus always gets to the point. And one thing about the truth, it does hurt sometimes, but it'll make you free. If you can go out of here this morning, not because of what some little preacher said, but because of the Holy Spirit and God's word combining and enlightening your heart and convicting your soul even. If you have let the Lord search your heart and you have found envy there and you have brought that to Jesus, Jesus, you see, cleanses us from all sin. His blood does, including envy. You can leave here with a freedom. You can leave here, and I'm going to tell you, a lot of weight will be taken off of. You'll be able to get along with people better than you ever thought about you doing. You'll be able to love people more than you've ever loved them. But greatness. Verse 20 of chapter 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. She wanted them to be great. It's not that we don't want our children to be great. We all do, don't we? But we want them to be great in the right way. The thing about envy, if we were more concerned about helping people that were below us, we wouldn't have time to be envious of people that were above us. You get that? But Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say to him, we are able. You know, those things that we envy, if we really got them, we wouldn't know what to do with them. I guarantee you, if you look over at your neighbor's yard, and this is just an example, and say, well, you know, their grass is so green. I just wish my yard were like that. And you walk over to your neighbor's yard, and you look down at the grass, you will see the mole cricket burrs. You will see the fire ant bed. You will see those barren spots that you can't see from a distance. See, here's the thing I've learned about trees. Just because a tree is big doesn't mean it's good for anything. See? Sometimes we envy churches because they're big. Nothing wrong with a big church. But sometimes you can be big because of a swelling. Maybe there's an infection somewhere. The other day I had a Chase Walker came over to take a couple of trees down for me. And there was a big oak tree that from the storm last year, it was still standing. And I bet you it was 80 foot anyway to the first limb. And about all the limbs had been off. And I said, Chase, I want you to take that tree down. And here's what I want to do. If it's solid, I want to cut it up in 12 foot logs. I'm going to get them sawn. I know a guy that can saw them for me. But said, I don't know if it's good or not till you cut it down. Do you know, you don't know a person's character until you cut them down. See? Now that tree was solid. He cut those logs up for me. That's how life is. No matter how big things are, it's what you got on the inside. Are you enjoying what God has given you? Are you having a pity party about what you think God took from you? You ought to have this that someone else has got. That's what Jesus is dealing with. But he goes on, and I know it's time to go. In verse 24, and when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. They were envious of them. They want to be great. These are God's disciples, by the way. Jesus' disciples. But Jesus called them to him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. See, the thing about envy, you're going to be great, so you're going to start envying because you see people that's greater. And there's always going to be somebody greater than you and me. Don't think they're not. There is. They're going to have more and do more, be able to say more. But Jesus says what you need to be dealing with, not your greatness, but your servitude. And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Now, if you want to be great and you want to deal with envy in your life, then you serve people. That person that has just got that job promotion that you wanted and that you envy and just eating you out and you don't even want to get around, call them up and say, look, I'd like to buy you lunch today. Congratulate them. You see what it'll do to you. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. What Jesus is saying is, look, this world's culture of greatness, you know, it's the big dog on top of the little dogs. It's not like that with God. The spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ is like an upside-down pyramid. And Jesus, the ultimate servant's on the bottom. Now, you know what concerns me, and I know you need to go too, but we have, you know, politics. Certainly we have to deal with them. But the theme has been, make America great again. And I have said before, and a lot of people have, you won't make America great till God is great. It might be, and this is concerning, at least to me, that we might have, at least what we're told, better economics. I don't know if we do or not. I know a lot of shutdowns that's happened. But when somebody can say God is great, I understand that in this country, I heard this, and I don't listen to news that close. I hope you don't either. But there's going to be a wrestling match at the White House. Did you hear that? Some kind of world cage fighters at the White House. Isn't that amazing? You know what it reminds me of? The Romans. They had the lions and the men, the gladiators. Entertain people. That's greatness. I mean, you can drop a bomb on people that has a country about the size of one of your states. So that's great. You know, we need to be very mindful of our greatness. When we start comparing ourselves among ourselves, the scripture says we're not wise. But only when we compare ourselves to Christ. He says, if you want to be a servant, great, rather, you be a servant. You know, I believe if we were less envious, we'd be more servant-minded, don't you? I know I would. Probably the very people we envy and we won't have anything to do with are the people we can learn the most from. But the devil likes it. He likes us to envy. Let's don't let him have his way. May the grace of God help us and heal us and strengthen us to be growing in His grace, to cut our greediness. We probably all would be better off to do some plastic surgery on some credit cards. And then to know that greatness, to be great. What does that mean? It means to be humble, to love the Lord and His righteousness and serving, to be satisfied with what God has given us, to confess our sins and believe that Christ forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for the blessings of Your goodness and grace. And we pray, O Lord, that Your Holy Spirit has opened our hearts this morning. And I know, Lord, these people didn't come here to hear this, but if You, Lord, have opened it, I can't open it. I can't make anybody feel the need of dealing with envy. And Lord, I pray that we all are thankful that as we see our lives made it in Your grace, that we're not as bad as we could be, or even as we used to be. But Lord, we're just not where we want to be, not yet. But we want to go there. For we know, Lord, to be closer to You is to be farther from the devil. Lord, forgive us should any envy have crept in our hearts over our lives. We thank You for Your sovereignty. And we believe, Lord, truly deep down, we pray that we can pull it out, though, and trump that envious attitude, that deep down our life is just right now. Because that's what You've planned for us. And in Your wisdom and mercy has given us. Help us to appreciate it more. And go ahead, Lord, and serve You. And live for You, who died for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.